Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, please. Thank you very much indeed. Now, we've got some time for questions. I think there'll be quite a few hands in the air from the media, so we're going to do one question each, but I'll try and get round you if I can. I've got you. Let's start with Nick Watt from The Guardian.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Your repeated mention of the good life obviously means we'll be seeing plenty of Penelope Keith and Felicity Kendall on our television sets this evening. Can I just ask you, mentioning the good life, is this a return to the sunny Dave of 2005 and 2010 after what many people have said has been a bit of a negative campaign? And can I just ask you, do you and Samantha Cameron, do you see yourselves as the Tom and Barbara of Britain or the Jerry and Margot?
I will... thank you very much, Nick, I'll leave that for Samantha to tell me privately later. Look, what I would say is that the greatest sunshine there can possibly be is for more people to find work, for more people to have more of their own money to spend as they choose, for more people to be able to own their own home, for more people to have that dignity and security in retirement. That's what the last 5 years have all been about. Of course, we've had to deal with the numbers and the balance sheets and the books and the deficits and the rest of it, and that work continues, but it's all for a purpose. And the purpose is to help people achieve their dreams and ambitions and aspirations. That's what it's about. And that's never changed. And that's what this election is about. Do we go forward with a plan that's working, or do we go back to square one and put it all at risk? Let's have James Mates from ITV.
Prime Minister, the Labour Party now call themselves the Party of Financial Responsibility. You call yourselves the Party of the Working People. Whatever the politics of trying to fight on each other's turf in this way, is anyone going to believe either of you?
Well, there's a very big difference between the Labour Party and the Conservative Party, which is for the last 5 years, we've been cutting taxes for working people. We've been helping working people back into jobs. We've been helping working people to buy their own home. We've been building schools like this so working people can get good school places for their children. Yet the Labour Party have spent the last 5 years attacking each and every decision that we've had to make to turn the country around. And that's why the deathbed conversion is so totally unconvincing in every single way. Let's have Tom Newton Dunn from The Sun.
Prime Minister, you say security is the one most important word for you, yet you quite clearly in this manifesto do not commit to meeting the NATO target of 2% of GDP on defence. You say you are meeting it, but there is no future commitment. If it's too expensive for you, why don't you just be honest and say so now?
Well, what we're saying, Tom, very clearly, is that we make a series of commitments on defence. First of all, to a full replacement for Trident, the ultimate insurance policy for Britain. Second of all, we say that we will not have further reductions in the regular size of our regular armed forces. And third, and I think most crucially, because our armed forces and those wanting to join want to know about what will be available. The equipment budget of £160 billion over the next decade is guaranteed with an inflation-busting increase in that, that capacity. That's very, very important. As for the overall defence spending level, we'll make that decision in the autumn after a defence and security review and alongside the other choices that we have to make. But that's a big contrast, that commitment to the £160 billion, with absolute silence from Labour on that, and indeed absolute silence on whether they would undermine Britain's nuclear deterrent. And you can see what's happening in this election campaign, which is that Labour have written a very thin manifesto with very little detail, and the SNP are now going to produce, I suspect, a rather more detailed list, which they will then try to enforce onto an Ed Miliband government. And here's the point about this election. Anyone who wants to stop that happening, if you want to stop the horror of a Miliband government backed by the Scottish National Party, it's no good voting Liberal Democrat. They could help make it happen. It's no good voting Green. It's no good voting UKIP. You have to vote for the Conservative Party as the only party that can secure a majority government to keep Britain on the right track. Let's have... James Landell from the BBC.
James Landell, BBC. Prime Minister, many voters see the Conservatives as the party of the rich.
3 weeks from an election, is it not a bit too late to start claiming you're the party of working people?
Well, we have a track record for the whole of this Parliament, and a track record based on a plan which is about turning our country round, getting our country back to work, and making sure that if you put in, you got out, a country that rewards work. So we haven't suddenly started cutting taxes for working people. We did it right back in the early budgets and autumn statements. We haven't suddenly started wanting people to own their own home. We've been pioneering the right to buy and help to buy policies to get more people to own their own home. We haven't suddenly invented the idea of good school places for children. We've been building schools like this and many others, including the 500 free schools around our country, so that they're there for people to have for their children. So, you know, there's a strong track record, and that's a huge comparison with Labour, who seems suddenly, after 5 years of literally attacking every single saving, every single welfare reform, every single difficult decision, suddenly to say we're the party of fiscal responsibility. It's totally incredible. I'm happy to be judged on our record, and that is 1,000 jobs every day. People being able to earn £10,600 before they start paying tax. 3 million of the poorest people in our country taken out of tax. Making sure that our pensioners are properly protected and looked after. £950 more on the basic state pension at the end of this Parliament than at the beginning. That is a track record. But what I'm saying today is the track record is not enough. This is a detailed blueprint for the future. It is packed full of detail of the things that we will do to help people get on and make the most of their talents and make the most of their lives. Let's have Faisal from Sky.
In January in Parliament, Prime Minister, you said unfunded spending commitments could wreck the NHS. So why have you made an £8 billion unfunded spending commitment on the NHS?
Well, all our commitments are fully funded as part of our fiscal plan. That is the difference between the parties. We're saying we will do exactly in this new Parliament what we've done in the last Parliament. In the last Parliament, we were able to reduce the deficit, we were able to cut taxes for working people, and we were able to expand every year the money for the NHS. And we're saying that balanced plan continues in the next Parliament. So we clear the rest of the deficit, we cut taxes for working people, and we spend £8 billion more by the end of the Parliament, at least on the NHS, compared with the £7 billion more we spent by the end of the Parliament on the NHS in this Parliament. So it's a clear and balanced plan. It's in total contrast to the Labour Party, because they have no plan for what the fiscal arrangements are for our country. You can see page 8 and 9, it's all spelled out there. And here are the three questions I think a party has to answer, which Labour clearly can't, and we clearly can, which is, how much are you going to cut the deficit by? When are you going to eradicate the deficit so you start putting aside money for a rainy day? And what is the balance between taxation and spending? Now, we answer each and every one of those questions. Labour answers none of them. They haven't even reached, as it were, the foothills. They haven't even got to base camp. In fact, I think they're stuck at Gatwick, you know, trying to work out what sort of sun cream to buy. They haven't really done the work, and they've had 5 years to do it. This is a total contrast. Let's have Paul Waugh.
Paul Waugh from Politics Home. Prime Minister, you made great emphasis about security in your speech. And you talked about the judgment calls you have to make when dealing with terrorism and so on. Are you saying that Ed Miliband will be a threat to national security?
Well, what I'm saying is there are difficult choices you have to make, and I think people deserve some clarity. So when it comes to the nuclear deterrent, you cannot take risks with this. Labour won't answer the question, will you have four submarines? You need four submarines to make sure one is permanently at sea. You can't. What are you going to do? Have three submarines, find that one isn't working. What? Buy one on eBay? I mean, is that the the Labour policy? You need certainty. You need certainty that when it comes to fighting Islamist extremism, that you're going to give the security and intelligence services the weapons they need, the technology they need, the legislation they need. Now, we have, in the last year, legislated to help confiscate people's passports, legislated to modernise the capabilities of our intelligence services, but more needs to be done. And if you're asking me, do I worry that the other parties will not push forward that vital agenda? Yes, I do, because I've seen it. Theresa May and I have had to negotiate, whether it's with the Liberal Democrats, whether it's with Labour, and we know that they don't always put the needs of our security intelligence services first in terms of keeping people safe. And I've seen, as Prime Minister, how difficult and dangerous this is, and I know that it needs to be done. So it is important. James Chapman from the Mail.
Prime Minister, you talked the other day about wanting UKIP voters to come home to the Conservative Party. Is there any sense, do you have a sense that that is beginning to happen? And what's in this document for people who are still thinking about voting UKIP?
Well, I think the key point about this election is that it's a choice. And it's a very clear choice. We either continue with a Conservative government that's got a plan that's getting the country back to work, turning the country round, increasing our prosperity and security, or we put all that at risk. And so to people who have not yet made up their mind, I would say, look, I know there are sometimes things that have bothered you over the last 5 years, things that you'd like us to have done differently or better or what have you. And I understand that. And we always learn from the things that we've done, the things we need to do even better. But the key thing is this is a choice. We're heading in the right direction. We've got a real chance in this country to turn the good news in the economy to, you know, a good life for people in our country. But we'll put all that at risk if we go back to the old Labour ways of more borrowing, more spending, more out-of-control welfare, more debt and more taxes. I don't think they've learned anything from the last 5 years. And their manifesto gives them the leeway to do it all over again. It won't take many prods from Nicola Sturgeon and Alex Salmond to make them do it all over again. But believe me, if there were some, it would be even worse, even more borrowing, even more spending, even more out-of-control welfare. That's the choice. So I would say to those voters, we've listened and we're taking action to control immigration. We're going to have that in-out referendum because it's time the British people had their choice. But the key at this election, in a way, I'm echoing what Labour said yesterday. They're now saying the key at this election is who do you trust to run the economy? Who do you trust to run Britain's public finances? Who do you trust to clear the deficit and sort out the difficulties we have? And I'm saying stick with the team that is delivering for Britain and can turn this economic success into real success for you and your family. Let's have a couple more. Channel... Andy Bell from Channel 5.
Thank you. Andy Bell, 5 News. Prime Minister, it wasn't supposed to be this way for your campaign at this stage in the election. You're not pulling away from Labour. Do you accept now that you and your team have fundamentally underestimated Ed Miliband?
Look, I'm a great believer that the old cliche, the only poll that matters is the one on polling day. I could point you to the poll yesterday, if I could find it in The Guardian, that is. although they did a better job of not hiding it than The Observer with their poll. You can always point to polls in election campaigns. And the key thing is setting out what it is you want to do and why you want to do it and who you're doing it for. And this is so clear. This is saying to working people in our country, we'll cut your taxes, we'll get you jobs, we'll build your homes, we'll provide the school places for you and your children, we'll give you that security in retirement and dignity in retirement that you yearn for, that the NHS will get invested in because it's our priority and your priority. That's what matters. And we've got a few weeks to go. People will look at all the manifestos, look at all the leaders and all the rest of it, but I'm confident that we've got the track record, and above all, we've got the policies and the people and the vision to take the country forward. Let's have Gary Gibbon. We've missed it. I don't want to miss that. We've got 1, 2, 3. Now, Channel 4.
Thank you very much, Gary Gibbon, Channel 4 News. Just a couple of quickies on the new policy that's in here. Just about every housing expert I've been able to make contact with says that your government and other governments have had an appalling track record of replacing the stock when it's sold off. Why on earth should you be different next time? And can I ask you, what is the tax-free minimum wage law going to cost? Because there's an awful lot of money you seem to have been spraying around just recently. Yeah. You say it's all funded. I think that's a redefinition of funded. And I think that a lot of voters might be justified in feeling a bit confused. Are there red flashing lights on the dashboard, or are we in the sunlit uplands?
OK, well, let me take your third question first. The point is, we are living in difficult economic times. We do have difficult situations in Europe, not least with Greece. And it's very important, therefore, that we stick to the economic plan that's working, that's going to eradicate our deficit, that's going to run a surplus, that's going to make sure Britain can pay its way in the world. All of that is set out, pages 8 and 9 of the manifesto, about how we do that. But let me answer your very specific questions. First of all, on the right to buy for housing association tenants, This, is, I think, is a really vital change. And people criticise the right to buy your council house, and they said it won't work, it'll be unfair, and all the rest of it. And it was just people, normally people, sitting in a home they owned, attacking the right of others who work hard, who do the right thing, who'd like to own their home, and that's what I want in this country. But I think what's particularly exciting about this is actually we're replacing the homes, as it were, at both ends, because, of course, anyone who buys their housing association home, that housing association, there'll be money to build a new home replacing that. But crucially, because we're saying that councils need to sell off the most expensive properties, that will actually yield more money for more houses to be built. And to give you some recent examples, I mean, in London there have been some council properties sold off that are worth, you know, over £1 million, and that's led to, you know, not one house being built, but a dozen. So, you know, there's a real prospect of actually this being very good for people who want to buy and own their homes, but also helping to bring about the increased housing supply that we need. You asked specifically about the tax-free minimum wage. Obviously, we've set out the cost of our tax reductions. That's raising the basic rate allowance, raising the starting point at which you pay 40p to £50,000. The cost of those are £7 billion. That should deliver the tax-free minimum wage. But remember, this is like an extra lock on what we're proposing to make sure that our government or a future government can't hold back increases in the personal allowance to make sure that the minimum wage earner is always free of tax. It's a really important lock on us and on future governments. Let's take one more, Allegra Stratton.
Allegra Stratton from BBC Newsnight. Prime Minister, you've been terrifically clear on the giveaways, to list them, the NHS, inheritance tax, right to buy. In this manifesto, a very generous policy on childcare, and as you just talked about with Gary, the minimum wage policy. But you cannot tell us any more about the £12 billion of welfare cuts. How can you be so clear on the nice stuff and not so clear on the nasty stuff?
Well, I'll make 2 points there, Allegra. First of all, we saved £21 billion in welfare in the last parliament, and we're saying we need to save £12 billion in this parliament. And I would argue that is the right choice. I mean, the other parties in this election are saying let's go on with unreformed and unchanged welfare. And I think that's wrong. If we want to keep taxes down for working people, if we want to deliver good public services, we need to reform welfare, and that's what we'll do. Now, we've set out the biggest one of those, which is, of course, freezing the working age benefits like unemployment benefit. We'll also carry on with the good work that we've been doing, getting people on what was incapacity benefit back to work. We're going to go faster in terms of saying to young people, a life on the dole is no longer an option, you should be earning or learning. And it's changes like that that will deliver this change. As for your overall point, the point I make is this. The other parties are not setting out what their fiscal plans are. We've set it out for every year. 2015-16, the year we're now in, we have fully costed spending plans that are being delivered right now, which incidentally include savings in welfare, savings in departmental spending, a big increase, £2 billion for the NHS, and a cut in tax for working people. We've demonstrated we can do it in 15-16. We've explained in the following 2 years we have to save one in every £100 the government spends. In the year after that, public spending is held level with inflation, and the year after that, public spending goes up with economic growth. That is a fiscal framework that you will not hear from the Labour Party. They cannot even tell you what they are going to tax or borrow or spend or anything. As I've said, they have not even reached base camp, and the public will see through that, and they will know it is only with the Conservatives that you have a fully costed, fully funded plan. Well, I want to thank everyone for coming today. I want to thank Angela again for being our host. I would just put it simply like this. Britain is on the right track. We are on the brink of doing something special, which is turning a good economy into a good life for people in our country. We paid down half the deficit. I say let's clear it altogether. We've created 1,000 jobs a day. I say let's go for full employment. We've got exciting plans set out in this manifesto. Don't let Labour take us back to square one. Don't let them wreck the exciting prospects we have for our country. Stick with the team and the plan and the vision that will deliver security for working people throughout their lives, throughout our country. Thank you.